Good morning, and welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church on this rainy summer Sunday morning, a Sunday morning which sees a race running through Providence and sees me standing up here in all kinds of race gear, rain-soaked. I wonder if you had a hard time getting to church this morning. We're glad you're here. A special welcome to anyone who's visiting with us today. We'd love to get a chance to talk some more following the worship service. There's a time of fellowship in the Hope Room, which is right behind the sanctuary. Come back for a cup of coffee and some snacks. We'll look forward to greeting you there. I encourage everyone to take out the brown pew pad, which you'll find on the center aisle. Fill it in, send it down your row and back so we can register who's here with us. And if you are visiting, we'd love to have an email address or phone number so we can get in touch with you. Few announcements this week as we begin. Today is race day. You see it behind me with the finish line sign. So that's the theme of the morning. It's a bit of a informal morning here at the church, but one that we rejoice in and that we're looking for what God has for us today. Pastor Chris and her family are away this week on vacation and study leave, but our church activities continue full force. Following worship today, we have an organizational meeting upstairs just after coffee hour for anyone who's involved this week with our Refugee Welcome Week. If you're going to volunteer for one day or 4 days, we'd love to have you come upstairs for a brief meeting after the service. Tuesday night, we continue our Tuesday night barbecue series on the front lawn. Join us from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Share a burger and a hot dog. There's no program. Just come and meet some new friends Tuesday on the front lawn of the church. I see Cheryl Mason in the back, who's got a great word for us. Cheryl, what's in your hand? Perfect. The church directories, which has been a long time in the making, Cheryl has them in the back, and she's done a great job with those. Pick yours up today. Are there other announcements this morning? The Apostle Paul writes, "Run the race as if to win the prize." This is our Christian calling, and this is our focus this morning. Come, let us run the race together. Let us worship God. Thank you. Though we are called by our God to run the race with faith, we often stumble and even fall. No one of us can run on our own the race set before us. Each of us is in dire need of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, let us enter into a time of confession, first in silence, and then together and aloud as we bring our prayers of confession to our God. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. Eternal and loving God, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. We hurry and scurry. We run like rats, and still our best efforts fall flat. We are quick to criticize and slow to forgive. We ponder the speck in our neighbor's eye and ignore the plank in our own eye. Lord of light and life, forgive us this day. Give us new vision for how to be your faithful followers. Help us to put away old grudges and leave behind the sins that ensnare us. By your mercy, renew us and give us strength for the journey ahead. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's remain seated and in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, number 2055, You Are My Hiding Place. Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and a new life has begun. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Friends, we are a praying congregation. We believe in the power of prayer and God's healing touch, God's answering of prayers, that God hears us and responds. This is a time when we can bring our joys or concerns to God. I want to ask Dan to run the mic for us in just a moment. I want to bring one as we begin. It's a joy. It's a great joy. And we mentioned it earlier. Is Cheryl here somewhere? That our directories are here. This is such a great joy because it's going to be a way for us to grow together as a congregation, to get to know one another better, put names and faces. And I want to bring Gina forward. And Cheryl, would you come up here for a minute? Thanks, Gina. Vanna White. Thank you. Cheryl has put in so many hours in this project, and this could have been an announcement or some other place, but we felt like it was a prayer. Cheryl, this has been part of your ministry amongst us, is gathering us together, helping us know each other more, and this project is going to do that. So we wanted to give you this gift as a token of thanks and a round of applause. Thank you, Cheryl. Are there other prayers today, things you want to bring to God? Dan will bring the microphone over to you.
My daughter Carmen is suffering from a severe headache. It's been going on at least a week, and we've been in the emergency room, and our shunt has been checked out, and can't find anything wrong, can't find anything that will cut the pain, so prayers for her.
Thanks. Prayers for Carmen.
Tomorrow, Walter is having experimental drug treatment for his prostate cancer, which will take 8 hours through the day. So I have prayers for him for that. Also, my cousin's husband recently had a stroke and is in the hospital in Indianapolis. So I'd like prayers for him. His name is Denny Evans.
My father just had shoulder surgery this week, and everything went fine. He's doing well, and I'd like to prayers for his quick recovery and also for his patience, because he's not good at being stuck in bed doing nothing, so patience for him for taking it easy.
Yeah, great. Thanks, McCall.
Last week, my husband Jim asked for prayers for his outpatient surgery that was on Tuesday, and I'm here to tell you that, you know, he's a little slow moving, so that he's not here today, but he is resting well at home, and we've taken little walks, and he's well on the mend. So thank you for your prayers.
Thanks, Sally. Prayers for Jim.
Good morning. I request prayer for my sister Wilma in Colorado. She was diagnosed recently with breast cancer and will be going under surgery this Wednesday. My parents are driving out as we speak to be with her. She's also is going through a divorce at the same time, and so it's been a difficult time in her life, and just request your prayers. Thanks so much.
Is that Wilma, Lynn?
Wilma.
Wilma.
Yeah, thanks.
Morning, church.
Morning.
I just want to tell God thank you today, because today is my birthday. You know, I want to thank God for the wonderful grace, for his protection over my life, and I'm glad to be here today. Thank you.
Amen. Shirley.
Good morning. Sorry. I just want to thank the church for praying for me. 3 weeks ago, my sister passed away. But she was very sick, and I appreciate all the prayers. Thank you.
I have a joy. My younger brother, Brian, is visiting from South Dakota, so welcome him after the service.
Welcome, Brian.
Good morning, I had a joy. Last Friday, I turned 50, and I just want to thank God for all these years of. I want to thank God for all these years. Thanks a lot.
Amen.
Thanks.
I want to give a prayer request to my in-law. They just lost their mom. They just got money. The dying family. So I want the church to pray for them. Dying family. D-A-H-N. D-A-H-N.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd just like to thank the church for all the prayers over the years. My brother hadn't been up here to New England for about 5 years, and he got up to Maine and then down to Connecticut for a visit with us, and it was a joyful time. Thank you.
Other prayers? See one down here.
Hi. Yesterday we had a little party for my husband, and I just want to thank everybody in the church that was able to make it. Thank you so much.
All right. Selena.
My stepmother died, and I need prayers for my father. His name is Victor.
Victor.
Continue prayers for Rhonda, a co-worker of mine, a friend, who is going through a chemo treatment and also radiation. Mm. Prayers.
Thanks, Gladys. Okay. Thanks, Dan. Let's enter into a time of prayer together. Let's pray. O God of all creation and all that is good, we pray to you today. The world is in a tumult, O Lord. It is not settled. It is not at peace. We pray this day for the world you created and the people that you love. We pray for our world, O Lord, especially in conflict zones and places of war or famine, disease or difficulty. Lord, we pray for the nations of the world and their leaders. We pray for our nation this day. We pray for our leaders who have hard decisions to make in Washington and here locally in our state. Oh God, we pray that you would give them vision and wisdom. Lord, the world is yours and everyone in it, and that includes us. We give you thanks that we are held in the palm of your hand. Like sheep, we follow you as our shepherd. We give you thanks this day. O Lord, we turn to you, trusting in your mercy and love and your power. We bring friends and family before you. We lift them in prayer. We pray for Carmen in her healing, for Walter with his treatment, for Denny and Don and Rhonda. We pray for Wilma, going through so much, facing surgery and in her relationship. We pray for Jim, Julie's brother. Lord, we pray for McCall's father as he recovers from surgery and for Jim Lockhart. Be with those who are at their lowest moments, in their weakest places. Give them strength unseen, strength that does not come from within, from their hard work, their cleverness, or anything that they would generate on their own. Help them to rely on you, to rest in you, to trust in you. Help us to trust you more. Oh God, you are with us in every phase and stage of life, from the beginnings to the end. We pray this day for those who mourn losses in their lives. We pray for Shirley, the death of her sister. We pray for Elena, the death of her stepmother, and for Victor as he mourns. Oh God, you are the resurrection and the life. In you, in Christ Jesus, we find our hope not just for this life, for life eternal. Help us to abide in that, even in these most difficult days. God, we bring to you our joys as well. We lift up birthdays and special times for Christian celebrating his birthday, for Eddie at his 50th. We thank you for many years of life and pray for many more. We pray for the city of Providence this morning as it comes alive, has come alive with a half marathon race being run around our streets. We pray for all who ran in it that they might find relaxation and rest at the end. God, we give you thanks for Brian visiting with us, David's brother. We pray for all who visit, all who are here, either from out of town or from the area. We thank you that you have blessed us as a community with a sense of hospitality. Help us, Lord, each of us this day and in days to come, to reach out to a neighbor in need, to a friend who is new, to someone who you are putting on our hearts to speak to reach out to and talk to. Oh God, we pray this day for Pastor Chris and her family as they travel. Bring them back to us safely. We pray for the upcoming Refugee Welcome Week this week for all the volunteers, all the families who will be impacted. We give you thanks for that ministry. On this rainy day, oh God, our spirits are settled down a little bit low. It's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to get to church. It's hard to get moving. And yet we know that when we turn to you in prayer, when we lift our needs before you, you hear them. You respond. You give us strength and new power, new vision. We thank you, Lord, and we pray you would build each of us up today to be the disciple you've called us to be. We pray that we would now join with disciples across every nation and every time who pray the prayer that your son Jesus taught them to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Children are always welcome in our worship service to stay here and worship with us. The family room is available upstairs if you have an infant who's on your hip or needs a little attention from mom or dad. And downstairs, 3-year-olds through 6-year-olds can leave at this time for some child care.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their faith, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, good morning. It is so great to see so many of you here this morning on this rainy summer day, which, as you know from what we've been saying, is race day here in Providence. The rock and roll half marathon was run this morning throughout the streets of downtown and around the east side. I know many of you had a hard time navigating your way through street closures and all the rest, but you did it. You've run the race, if you will, to win the prize. You're here with me. I'm going to give you my medal that I won running this morning. You know, it's not just race day out there, but it's also race day here in the church. Our whole service this morning is gathered around this theme. You see it behind me with the finish line sign. Usually I do not wear what I'm wearing today into worship, but it's running shorts, running shoes, this jersey, my race number, and the prize that I won at the end for finishing the race. This is part of our summer sermon series called Activate. We've been looking at 8 different summer activities and the spiritual lessons that God has to teach us through them. And today's activity, well, you can guess it, running. Running the race as if to win the prize. I made a big mistake a few months ago, and I mentioned this race here in the pulpit in a sermon. And I said, you know, if you were to run a race and have rock and roll bands every mile or so, it would be really encouraging, a much better way to run a long race. And afterwards, I walked into the Hope Room and was ambushed by a group of PPC runners who persuaded me to join them, to train all summer long and to run this morning. So that's what we did. The race was run at 7 in the morning, and there were 7,000 people running in this race. 7,000 people makes it the largest half marathon in all of New England. And there was a woman in the race today, they announced her, who's an American woman who ran the fastest half marathon time on American soil. She's sort of a running celebrity, and she was in the race today. So it was a good time. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one wins the prize? Run the race as if to win that prize." That's our theme this morning. Paul's central metaphor is that running the race is something like how our lives of faith are to be lived. As we begin today, let's pray. O God of every time and place, and this time and this place, gather our hearts this morning around a word from you, from your scripture, a word for our lives. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me words to speak. All these things in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, while I was running the race, and you still hear it raining outside, you know, it was pouring rain. So I'm kind of sopping wet. In fact, my sermon was also sopping wet. It was sitting out in a field the whole time. So we're going to go a little bit without ropes this morning. Are you okay with that? All right, we're going to do a little high wire act, and we'll see how it goes. Well, today I want to talk to you about this idea of our Christian faith as something like running the race. This is Paul's metaphor that he gives us from 1 Corinthians. And I want to begin by telling you a story. It's a story about Pastor Chris. She's not here to defend herself today. She told me I could tell you. You know, when she was in college, Pastor Chris joined the cross-country team. And she wasn't a big runner, she hadn't been running before, but she joined the team, and she started training, and she traveled to competitions with her college team. And so she tells the story of one time being at a cross-country race on a Saturday morning in a big park, a wooded area. And the race began, and the fastest runners took off out of the gate, far ahead of everyone else, leaving her in sort of the middle of the pack. But then soon she was sort of at the back of the pack. And then she was at the back of the back of the pack. She was in last place. But you know, Pastor Chris worked very hard, and she kept running. She didn't give up. She kept on running, and she just plugged away. And this whole course was set in a field. So there were trees and hills, and there weren't a lot of people around, unlike the race today. So nobody knew where she was, and she just kept running and running. And she finally got up into the final part of the race, and she could see ahead, and it said, the finish line. She could see the finish line up ahead, so she kept pressing on toward her goal, kept running toward that finish line. But as she got closer, all of a sudden, the finish line got taken down. And she kept running, and as she got closer, she saw that there were workers, and they were disassembling the finish line. And then one of them saw her coming and said to the other, "Hey, put that finish line back up. Someone's still running." And that was her. So she finally came and finished. How discouraging would that be? If you were running and someone just took away the finish line and said, "Sorry." Today I want to talk to you about the three temptations that we find on race day. Race day is a fun day. It's festive. It's been amazing to see all the folks out in their finery. But I want to talk about the three temptations of race day and how that kind of applies to us in the race of our Christian faith. The first temptation is pretty simple. It's to give up. It's to say, "Forget it. I can't do it." You can imagine Pastor Chris running in that field and the finish line being taken away and saying, "Oh, never mind, let me just give up." That's always a temptation, isn't it? Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Corinth who were well acquainted with this imagery of an athletic event or a race. In non-Olympic years, in the city where he lived, in Corinth, which is in the Greco-Roman world, there was an athletic event called the Isthmian Games, and it was held every other year, kind of like the Olympics, just on a smaller scale. So there were running races and wrestling and all those things you associate with it. And so people would recognize this image of an athlete who had to compete to win the prize, who had to persevere in order to not give up and to win. It can be agonizing, can't it, if you think about all the runners running those long distances or Pastor Chris running towards the thing. Agonizing. It's a word that Paul actually uses in his letter. In the NRSV version that we read today that you saw up on the screen, it says that athletes exercise self-control in all things. And the Greek there, the original Greek, Paul is saying, a better translation might be, everyone. He doesn't say athletes. He actually says everyone. So, sorry, it includes us too. Everyone who competes, but he uses a word for strives. Everyone who strives for something must exercise self-control. And the word strives in Greek is agonizomenos. Listen for it. Agonizomenos. To strive is something is where we get the word for agony from. It can be agonizing to strive after something, to run a race, to compete. And yet Paul says we are called to run in such a way as to finish that race, to win the prize. Oftentimes when I run, I'll say things to myself to really pump myself up, like, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," or "run the race as if to win the prize," or even young men will fall exhausted and weary, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, mount up on wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. All of these words of Scripture come back. Even the song that we're singing today in worship, "Guide my feet while I run this race." Each of these can be really encouraging words. But then other times, there are other words that creep in. And maybe you know about this too. How do I get myself into this? What am I doing out here? I just can't do it. And running along, telling myself those kinds of things is so discouraging. Maybe you feel that way sometimes as well. But you know what? That's actually true. I mean, that's the gospel, isn't it? I'm not good enough or fast enough, strong enough or clever enough, spiritual enough or whatever enough on my own. We can't live life on our own steam. We just aren't enough. That's why we rely on the grace of God. So with God, we are, as we said before, more than enough. Let's see, where are my notes? Isaiah 40 says that even young men or young people will become weary and fall exhausted. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So it's not on our strength that we're able to do it, but it's through God's power and grace that which inspires us and brings us up. So the first temptation is to give up. Don't give up. But then the second temptation, the second thing that can get us off track when running the race, is a temptation to go solo. To go solo. Paul writes, "Don't you know that in the race, only one person will win the prize?" And that's true. In an athletic event, only one gets the medal. But you see, I also have a medal here. This is a finisher's medal, which is not bad. This is where Paul's metaphor breaks down a little bit. Because for us, in Christian faith, we know we're not competing against other people, as if only one of us can win the prize. But all who run the race faithfully receive the prize. It's the promise of God. So we're not meant to go solo. In fact, we're meant to go together. These past months of training with a group of runners from PPC, it's been incredible to get together with other folks on a Saturday morning and run together. We're better together than we are on our own. And we see that in the New Testament as well, that people are not meant to be solo Christians off in their own world. Instead, they're called to be joined together into the family of faith, that is the church. So we also are better together. Don't go solo. But then that leads us into the third temptation of race day, which is if we're not going solo and we're with other people, then it's to start to kind of look at other people and how they're doing in the race. Do you ever do that? How they're doing in their Bible study, how they're doing in their career, how they're doing in their family, to compare ourselves. I was running today up North Main Street, and I was running along, and I found myself looking ahead and seeing all the runners, thousands of runners probably, who are ahead of me, and thinking, oh man, they are really good. I need to catch up to them. I need to get where they are. But really, I just needed to focus on running the race that was set before me. That's what we're called to do. The Christian faith is always personal, but it's never individualistic. It's personal. We're called to run the race, but it's not individualistic as if we disregard all others. We're not meant to compare ourselves to somebody who's ahead of us or behind us. We're meant to run the race that is set before us. I wonder what that race looks like for you in your own life. I wonder where you're at in it. Not compared to any superstars or mega pastors, but to where God is calling you directly, to what God means for your life. How's your race going? I'm tempted to think about this idea of running the race that is set before you. I think about this idea of running the race that is set before you in this way. There's a larger race to be run. For the Apostle Paul, in his writing to Corinth, he understood the finish line, what we see up here. He understood that to be eternal life with Christ. It was not a wreath that would fade or fall apart. It was an eternal glory. So he saw the finish line as eternal life with Christ. And that's good. That's the big picture. But there's also within that big picture a lot of smaller things that we are called to do, smaller races that we're meant to run. Up this hill, down this straightaway, through this tunnel, through this hard time in my life, in this relationship, into graduate school, or my marriage, or whatever comes next. Each phase of our life is like a smaller race that we are called to run and to finish and then to continue running towards our goal. Think about the Apostle Peter from Scripture. Think about when he was called by Jesus on the seashore. Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and Peter said, "Yes," left his nets behind, became a disciple of Jesus. Amazing. It was like he crossed a finish line, becoming a disciple of Jesus. But that finish line turned out to be a starting line, because becoming a disciple is just the beginning. Later, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter said, "Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some one of the prophets." And Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah." And he confessed his faith and put his trust in Jesus. So he went from being a disciple to really a committed believer who understood who Christ was. What a finish line to cross. Amazing. But that finish line turned out to be just a starting line, because Peter continued with Jesus. Later, after Jesus had died and risen and gone into heaven on the day of Pentecost, you remember this story, all the disciples were gathered, and they started, and the Holy Spirit came. They started speaking in tongues. They started communicating with people in languages that were not their own. And it was Peter who stood up and started preaching, started sharing his faith, started telling people why it mattered so much that he had Jesus in his life and what that meant for them. What a finish line. Or was it a starting line? You know, the third temptation on race day is to see this finish line off in the distance like some future event that we can't get anywhere close to. And it can be discouraging. We might say, never mind, let me quit. That's the first temptation. Or we might say, let me go for that finish line at all costs, putting aside all relationships, breaking them, putting aside all friendships, putting aside my career, my family, anything that is in my life. But that's not the way we learned Christ. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, full life, all aspects of life. So what's with this finish line? It's our future calling and hope, but somehow it seems this finish line really a starting line, isn't it? This finish line is not the end, it's the beginning. When we come to follow Jesus as a disciple, it's not the end, it's only the beginning. When we put our life and our trust in Jesus, it's not the end, it's the beginning. When we start to share our faith and tell and live a life following Jesus, telling others why that matters to us, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. Friends, this worship service, race day, it's not the end either. This message that you'll take with you, not to quit the race, not to go solo, and not to see the end as really the end, take that with you, but it's only the beginning of what God will do to you, through you, and with you. For even youths will grow weary, and young people will fall exhausted. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. What an amazing example of what we're talking about this communion table is for us today. To come to the communion table is not to cross a finish line, to check something off a list, to say, I've done it, I've achieved my goal. Instead, to come to the communion table is to acknowledge that God is not done with you yet, that this is just the beginning. And along the road of life, that race that we run, we need to be nourished. We need to be replenished. We need to gain strength from God that is not our own. That's what this table is about. It's a table of grace. This table is not a Presbyterian table. It is not set just for those who are members of this particular congregation, but it is open to all who put their trust in Jesus, who seek to run the race of life and faith with Him. Come, everything is ready. Join with me, please, in the words of the Great Thanksgiving, which are printed in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Consecrate now, O Lord, these simple elements of bread and cup. Take them away from their ordinary purposes and make them into something new in our eyes. Help them be vessels of your grace, communicating to us your great love for us, giving us strength for the journey, helping us, Lord, to follow you more faithfully, even as we rely on your grace, your truth, and your will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hear the words of institution of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. After blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant which is sealed in my blood. It is shed for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he should come again." Today we will take communion by the ancient practice of intinction, which means you'll come forward, you'll take the bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it right then. We'll be singing a song together as we come forward. I invite you to sing as you come and as you return to your seat. Friends, these are the things of God for the people of God. Please remain standing for our final hymn this morning, led by the worship band, Guide My Feet, an old gospel favorite.
Guide my feet, Lord, while I run this race.
Father,
guide my feet, Lord, while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. For I don't want to run this race in vain.
Oh, Father, won't you hold
solo, and never see the finish line, the finish lines of your life, those small phases that you pass through, as anything but just the new beginning that God is beginning in you this day. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be full of courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of God's Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.